I haven't been able to stump you, so I put it out on Facebook that I was coming to talk to you. So I asked for people for their questions. Okay, so great. These are the questions from Facebook that people have asked, just a few questions. Someone asked, why is it that Catholic beliefs are being pushed out of society? It just seems that there is a secret secular mafia, perhaps not so secret, pulling the strings.
Yes, well, I think it's a profound question that would require a lengthy response, but I think in a nutshell, I don't look to the culture, the forces, or a conspiracy theory of why, you know, the church is being removed from society, because I don't believe the answer lies outside. I think the answer lies within. The reason why we're being pushed out of the culture is because we haven't engaged the culture. There is no force on this planet that can stop Catholics when they act like Catholics. When we stand up, when we know our faith and we go into the middle of the world, there's nothing that can stop us. I mean, look at our history. You know, Christ came and the apostles lived during the time of a Roman Empire that became increasingly antagonistic toward Christianity and attempted to destroy it at times. Talk about culture trying to destroy you. How about crucifying Christians under the reign of Diocletian, for example, at an enormous rate? But the way that the church would end up transforming the culture was through that very martyrdom. It was through Catholics standing up, standing firm, even in the face of losing their very lives. That was the seed, if you will. As Tertullian said, it was the blood of the martyrs that was the seed of the church. It was Catholics standing up in the middle of the culture that would end up transforming a culture that wanted to destroy Christianity into a Christian empire. And so I think we should first and foremost look to ourselves. And I know I do a talk called Catholics in the Culture War where I point out that if Catholics in the public eye in the United States would have been Catholic, Catholics on the Supreme Court, for example, if they would have been Catholic, Catholics, you know, in Congress, Catholics in various state legislatures and such, we wouldn't have abortion. We wouldn't have the porno industry that we have now. We would have been able to stop a lot of this stuff. So really, I think the finger needs to be pointed at us. I think we are the problem as well as the solution when we turn around and start acting like Catholics.
Next question was, what is the trick to learning scripture by chapter and verse, as well as how do you remember which passage goes with which verse?
Well, I'm a firm believer that repetition is the mother of learning, right? And if you want to know scripture, you got to read it. I read scripture every day, and I also encourage people to turn the TV off. You know, you're not going to learn scripture by watching the telly 4 hours a day, right? Notice I said telly. I don't know if you guys say that here or if that's a British thing. But
no, we say telly.
You say telly also, okay. Yeah, it's a matter of disciplining yourself to read it consistently, and then I would say, secondly, teaching it. I find the more that I teach scripture, the more it sticks in my head. You know, you can read a million books about love, but you don't know love until you love somebody, right? You can read a million books about faith, but you really don't know the faith until you give it away. There's something about that, the giving, that causes it to stick in my head. I don't systematically try, okay, I'm going to memorize these verses. I don't do that. I did that as a child in the Baptist church that I was raised in. But I find that the scriptures kind of stick with me as I study them on a day-to-day basis and then give them away.
And finally, the last question that came through is, what do you think of the division into extraordinary and normative form of the Mass? I assume he means the ordinary form.
Yes, the ordinary and extraordinary form. I think it is absolutely brilliant. I am absolutely amazed at our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, and what he has done, you know, not only with the ordinary and extraordinary form of the Mass, but now the ordinariate for the Anglicans, the way he has reached out to Jews, you know, in Jesus of Nazareth, to Muslims in the Regensburg Address, and establishing a dialogue now with 138 Muslim scholars. I mean, our Holy Father is incredibly creative, and he shows a pastor's heart and a love for people in that he wants to reach out to the world. He's reaching out to the Orthodox. He's reaching out to Protestants. He's reaching out to atheists. You know, he had a symposium on creation versus evolution at the Vatican. I mean, it's incredible to me. But when it comes to the traditionalists, the Society of Pius X, the SSPX, it was absolutely brilliant. And I don't know anyone that saw this coming. How are we going to reconcile the divisions among the traditionalists, who many of them feel like they've not been treated well? And I think the extraordinary and ordinary form of the liturgy was brilliant on so many levels, because it's showing the traditionalists that, you know, there's not something wrong with you because you love the ancient Latin liturgy. I mean, and it came across that way to a lot of them. Like, there's something wrong with me. I just love the liturgy that was taught in the church for 1,000 years. I mean, it really, its roots go back long before the Council of Trent. Mm. And they were almost, at least they felt, almost like, you know, the church is saying there's something wrong with you. And of course, you know, Pope Benedict has a great love for that liturgy. Mm. And so, you know, in instituting this ordinary and extraordinary forms, he sends a message of inclusion, that we want you, we want to sit down and talk with you, and we love that liturgy as well. It's not the ordinary,
yeah,
and it never will be the ordinary form. And I think that is also a message that's sent so brilliantly here, is that Vatican II is a valid council, and you have to acknowledge that, and the reforms of the liturgy were needed, and we are moving forward with the ordinary form. So it's a way, I think, of moving forward from the perspective of tradition, showing how there's not really a break of tradition with the ordinary form. And then the one other thing that I would point out is, I think that some of the abuses that have happened with the ordinary form, the church didn't intend clown masses and, you know, some of the nonsense that's going on. I think the extraordinary form next to the ordinary form is going to encourage a respect for both. And hopefully it will bleed, the reverence of the extraordinary will bleed over into the ordinary. You know, and the participation of the faithful that we see in the ordinary will bleed over into the extraordinary, and both will be the better for it.
And we see this happening now, even with the incoming of the new translation,
yes,
where we're getting some of those rich words, some of the actions that perhaps were lost some time ago, which weren't totally dispensed with, but we naturally lost them being brought in. And it's just, you can see that Pope Benedict has... he just wants to engage people through the Mass, and you can see it's a top priority for him.
And you can, and you guys are blessed here to already be implementing it here and there. In the States, we're not implementing it until Advent. You guys have gotten a head start, but I noticed here going to Mass with the changes, you know, I've read the changes, but to hear them now as I go to Mass, You just see, it is so beautiful. The beauty of the language has been lifted. It's elevated, and it's an opportunity for catechetics, because people are asking the questions already. Why are we saying for many instead of for all? We've been saying for all for so long. What is it with this? And with your spirit? What is this with
consubstantial?
You know, consubstantial. I mean, these are all profound changes, really, that are just getting back to the Latin and rendering the translations more accurately and more faithfully to the text. And we are going to see the fruits of it, I think, for the next decades, the next century. We're going to see positive fruits from it.
And I guess it's so wonderful to have a Holy Father who's encouraging us to be lifted out intellectually. He just doesn't want us to go, okay, you're Catholic, you stay there. He's trying to, you know, bring us out through such, you know, these ways.
Yes, I remember on our radio show at Catholic Answers Live, I remember a fellow calling in and asking a question about the translation of the Creed, that Christ is one in being with the Father in the Creed. And I pointed out on the air, this was several years ago, that, well, one in being is not the best translation. But the Latin says consubstantialis, which is really a better term because it gets at that sense of the same nature. You know, Pope Leo the Great said we are, or Christ is consubstantial with the Father and consubstantial with us, right? Which brings out so powerfully that he has two natures. He has, and consubstantial means what? Of the same substance or same nature. So he's consubstantial with the Father. Why? Because they share the same nature, the divine nature. Consubstantial with us, same nature with us, a human nature. But if you say one in being with the Father, one in being with us, it doesn't get at the reality of the two natures as well as consubstantial. And I remember just getting taken to task. You know, we had quite a few calls. How dare you call into question the translation of, you know, this is the official translation. And I said, look, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it could be better. And so I'd like to revisit those fellows now, you know, but anyway.
Well, thank you. You've answered the questions really well. Tim Staples on tour. He's from Catholic Answers. Go to catholic.com.
Correct.
If you're in Sydney, he's here for a couple more days. Go to parousiamedia.com and you can check out when and where he's speaking. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.